You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, you are with Rick Munn on TNT Radio. That sounds really sinister when I say it. Doesn't sound so sinister when the announcer says it. If you people knew what I was really like, no one would be listening to Rick Munn. Skeletons, closets, and all that. No, I'm only joking, of course. I'm purer than the driven snow. There's no dirt on me, no flies on me, as they say. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. Anyway, enough of this self-bashing here. You know, you've got to be hard on yourself sometimes and call a spade, and not just a big spoon. None of us are perfect. Sometimes we like to think we are. Sometimes we like to think we can't get it wrong, but we can. And earlier on in the show, I was speaking with Natalie Chelan. You know what? We do offend people sometimes, but we don't mean to do it. At least I'm not trying to be malicious when I'm stirring up the old hornet's nest and poking at people. But sometimes things need to be said, and nothing is ever done in malice. And yes, we do get it wrong sometimes. So hands held high. I'm just a human being like everybody else, as are you. So let's keep perspective on things. That's a little bit of philosophy to open up the hour. I want to look at some news headlines that are relevant, I would say, to my next guest and I. We're going to get into them in detail. Strangely enough, your old hometown or your stomping ground in London is mentioned, Trevor John. London housing market, Tooting gets a shout. In March 2021, someone is lamenting that they signed a two-year contract for a three-bedroom flat in Tooting at a price of £1,950 per calendar month. In June 2022, the contract was terminated by the agent and they were given a two-month notice. The flat has now gone online for £3,000 per calendar month. So there's been a massive hike in prices in Tooting in London. That's just one place in many. Whether or not they went up by that much, we don't know for sure. But one thing we do know is the cost of renting, and now the interest rates are going up and people are getting squeezed, especially if they live in the big smoke, any big towns or cities in anywhere in the world, really. So if you're there, you'll know what I'm talking about. Bank of England has raised its interest rates by 0.5 percentage point to 1.75%, which is the biggest rise in 25 years. So a big hike yesterday from the Bank of England. And what happened as a result of that? Well, the guy who's heading it up knows that we're on the brink of a recession. The Prime Minister and the Chancellor are nowhere to be seen around all this. They're taking a holiday while we are left to pick up the broken pieces, as it were. So the bank is also predicting recession starting this year, lasting as long as the financial crisis in the 1990s, which was 5 consecutive quarters. It will be longer than that this time. This is pretty unprecedented, and we are going to feel the pain. We have talked about this here. We have tried to prepare people for this here, like many other people. So please, there's still a little opportunity there to put a little to the side, do a little bit of prep work for what's coming, and so on and so forth. Also, just lastly, the energy price cap is to remain above £3,500 in the UK throughout most of 2023, a report from Sky News warns. And also Ofgem, the price regulator, are looking to review prices every 3 months instead of every 6 months. And let's be honest about it, they ain't going to do that for your benefit. They want to hike those prices up and hike them up and hike them up and make it thoroughly unpleasant for you and thoroughly pleasant for them. That's the kind of people that we're dealing with. Unlike the government, and unlike the energy regulators, TNT are a different bunch altogether. So we have an app, and if you don't have it on your phone, I have to ask you a question, why not? Okay, sometimes people say that they listen to the show and it cuts off on the website and their browser's not up to date and they have to refresh. So let me offer you some humble advice. Or not an advice, it's an order. Go onto the App Store, go onto Google Play and download the app. Okay, it's a sweet little app, actually. I'm not a big fan of technology, but the app looks good. genuinely looks good. It's like this black and white and red and grey thing. It looks really nice. Easy to use. It doesn't glitch. All the back catalogs on there, the schedules are on there, and everything that you need is on there. So get onto the App Store, get onto the Google Store, and download the app so you can listen to TNT Radio anytime.
The latest headlines waiting for you.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, I'm happy. Very happy right now because me old mucker, Trevor John, is back in TNT Towers. He's beaming in from Kent, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's it. Hello, hello, hello.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm very good. I'm very good. We extracted some honey from the bees this week. That was a joyful experience.
No stings, no?
No. They're good as gold, our bees. You could virtually not have any protection on at all. They don't want to sting you anyway, bees, because that's their lot if they sting you. They're committed.
Yeah, because they lose the sting. When they sting you, is it right that the sting stays in your body and it kind of kills them as well?
It does, yeah. It rips out their insides. You can see this little pump still in it, pumping the poison into you. Yeah, it's best to get that out quick. But, I mean, wow. To be honest, I've only been stung once. And that wasn't even our bees. That was when I was at the local apiary.
Apiary?
Yeah, apiary. That's what you call it. Yes, it sounds like it should be something to do with monkeypox.
Or the government? Westminster, the apiary. Sounds like it should be something relevant, but it's bees, isn't it?
It is bees, yeah. So we started off with a little hive that wasn't particularly strong, but then we had about 12 frames of honey to extract, and we got about 24 pounds of honey from that. So it's a big bucket.
Yeah. Have you bottled it up? Are you selling it at local like farmers?
No,
farmers? What are you
going
to do with it, or giving it away to friends?
No. Yeah. Yeah. At this point, I mean, we're increasing the amount of hives we've got there, but this is our first little foray into it, and we're just going to enjoy it and give it to people. Sweet. Yeah.
Do you have to do anything to it before you eat it, or can you literally just take it raw straight from the hive with the comb and just eat away at it?
And I was dipping my finger into it as we were scraping off the wax. Yeah, I was just taking handfuls of that and eating it. It was, in fact, that's probably the best honey, the bit where you have to uncap it because the bees put a capping over it just to keep it contained, which is where the beeswax comes from. And so you scrape that off first before you put it into the machine to spin it.
Okay. And then you get your purifier, you get your final product.
Yeah. But you kind of filter it through a sieve. But you've got to let the pollen through because that's quite important to have in it. Mm-hmm. There's a petition actually going out with all the local beekeepers to stop the supermarkets from describing some of what they sell as honey. I mean, I can't remember which one it is, Lidl or one of the, I can't, I remember exactly which supermarket it was, but are selling honey for like 50 pence for a jar. Uh-huh. And you can't even get the jar on the label for that. And so it's not even honey they're selling. It's some kind of sugar water.
What do you expect? You know, do you remember, actually, this is bringing something to my mind. I said to you about this about a month ago. I said that I think I have a bee's nest or possibly a wasp's nest up in the eaves of my house because I could see them flying in and out. That has stopped now. I think now, obviously, I'm not an environmentalist and I'm no expert, but there's no activity there at all anymore. And there was a lot of activity. Could that be because of the temp? I mean, allegedly, we're in the middle of a heat wave, global warming. In Northern Ireland right now, I think we're pushing 13 degrees Celsius tops. It's overcast. It's really windy. Could they have died off because there has been literally no heat this summer? Or why would that activity have stopped altogether?
Well, maybe. I mean, wasps tend to just leave their nests. You quite often find empty wasp nests in your loft, and they're absolutely beautiful. They look like they're made of the finest paper. So yeah, I mean, if it's a bee, if it was bees, maybe they just moved off and found a better place to live.
Seems odd. It just stopped like literally just like that. And there was a lot of buzzing around, and all of a sudden it just stopped. And I saw a lot of dead bees lying on the ground, you know, at my back door. Again, I tried to give them a little bit of, you know, water and a little bit of, you know, sugar in it. And maybe you're not supposed to do that, but I was trying to help the little guys out anyway. But no, they died. They up and died on me. So yeah, that was the end of that. So I don't know.
Maybe they
Know. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe they weren't in a good place. You know, sometimes they, you know, hives can be infected with varroa mite. They might have left the hive and looking for somewhere else to live, but they may.
They're right above where I broadcast every day. So maybe 3 hours a day of me online talking the stuff I talk. Maybe the vibes were bad and maybe I just drove them off. I don't know.
Well, they're pretty brutal, actually, because, I mean, they do actually chuck out the drones after a while, especially towards the winter. They'll just, the males, they just brutally chuck out from the hive because they've no longer, their only purpose is to sit around, get fat, eat honey and shag the queen. And once that's all happened, they're out.
Well, at least they die happy, you know.
Well, some of them do. Some of them don't even get a shag.
Well, you know, it depends who the queen is too. If it's like, you know, when I vision our monarch, you know, I would happily die with just the honey, and that would do me fine. Thank you very much. But listen, you were at a festival, I believe it was last weekend, possibly the Hope Festival.
Yeah.
My old mate, Big Mick Chaves, was there. He's doing a great work. I had him on the show this week. I think you heard it. I told you to say hello to him. Tell us your experiences of the festival. It was the Hope Festival in Sussex, I think it was. Big Freedom Music Festival in England. Gathering of like-minded individuals, geeing each other up. What was the day like, or what was the weekend like for you?
I was just there for the Sunday, but it was absolutely beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. You get you go down there and you find one of the first people I spoke to was the guy from Not the Beeb. He's got a platform. And it's funny because I bumped into his brother on the marches and I'd written the first verse of my song, That's a Moron. And his brother, I think, was called Miles. And he said to me, oh, you should have a verse about the BBC. So that hence the second verse of my song. If you're paying your fee to the fake BBC, that's a moron. And so that was nice.
That's
to
the
meet
first
him.
Song of yours I ever heard, by the way, before you ever came onto the show. It's a moron. Yeah, I got the video of it because the Void, who I was trying to get on, they suggested you.
Yes.
And they sent through a little link. I couldn't get onto your Twitter page, but they sent you a link of you standing in London singing this. I think it was in Trafalgar Square. And it really stuck in my head. So it's a good tune. I like that one.
Mark Devlin's asked me to record it for one of his Sounds of Freedom outputs. But The Void. Now, I must put something right, because one of the last times I was on, I gave you the address for The Void and I got it wrong. So some obscure little design group in Richmond have been getting some extra traffic. So their online presence is thevoid.uk. And I'm in pretty close contact with those guys. I speak to them all the time. And they have an amazing site, which is a searchable database of every aspect of what's gone on over the last 2 years and before, you know. And it's an absolutely amazing platform. So if anyone wants to know anything about anything, if you go to The Void, and their Telegram channel as well, which is the_void. You can search it
on
up
Telegram.
There. Yeah.
On Telegram.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're... Yeah. These are the people, by the way, that connected me initially with Trevor. Their website is thevoid, all one word, .uk. And also they are on Telegram at the_void, I think it is. Isn't that correct? Let me just check here for you. Because I follow them on, yes, it's the_void on Telegram. They're very prolific, by the way, in their output, and it's all very relevant to a lot of the stuff that we would be talking about here. Trevor, we're going to go to a quick ad break, and when we come back, I want to look at our old friend who keeps surfacing again, and on the subject of bees, of course, I want talk about none other than Sting. So we're going to do that. We're going to do that when we come back after this short break here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
Jeremy Nell on TNT Radio.
But it's also really important, David, because this isn't like other conversations. This is about our health.
And liberty.
Yes,
and liberty.
Of course.
And the health thing right now is a weapon to make us lose our sovereignty as a nation, as countries, and sovereignty over our own personal beings, our bodies. It's far more effective than bullets and bombs, although that's coming too, and it's already going on in some places. But this has been decades in the making, using healthcare. In fact, the Nazis used the idea of healthcare. I think that's becoming more popular now, about how they linked diseases and the Jews together, that sort of thing, you know. And I'm not at all surprised. Plus, health is a good way to scare people.
Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them, because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization. The left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What's more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left are trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts, or be their next door neighbors, or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
Remember when they told us that the last presidential election was the most secure election in history? Well, they lied to you and the rest of the world. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm joined for the last part of my show by the previously described by me after dinner mint of TNT Radio, Mr. Trevor John. You know, I've been thinking about that title, and it doesn't sound very... very exotic or very, it doesn't do you justice. So I'm going to give you
It's not a lot of gravitas.
No, it doesn't. you know, if you were a pro wrestler and your fighting name was the After Dinner Mint, I don't think people would take you seriously. So I'm going to rebrand you. Let me withdraw. Let me redact that title. And I don't know why, but I'm going to refer to you as the Obi-Wan Kenobi of Locked and Loaded. Is that better? Heidi, what do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. Let's overstate it.
Yeah, from one extreme to the other.
But well, it's better than the After Dinner Mint.
It sounds better than the After Eight, doesn't it? The Obi-Wan or the After Eight. I know which one I'd rather be called. But listen, we're in conversation here, thankfully. I'm glad to see him again. I always like talking to you. And by the way, this is off the cuff. There may be maybe some outside broadcasting being done by TNT Radio, by yours truly. Maybe. Nothing's written in stone, bandied about. So I'm scouring the country for possible festivals, get-togethers, etc., that we may be able to do a good live broadcast from. So you, my friend, are well connected in those circles, more so than me in England. So keep your ears open and keep your ear to the ground. And maybe if this manifests itself, I would be happy to maybe, because we have talked about hooking up and having a bit of crack together. It might be good for to sure. do that and some live broadcasting at the same time. So that's as an aside, and also for you lovely listeners out there, we're constantly looking at ways we can push the envelope out here in TNT. So that's something that may be coming later on this year, outside broadcasting from live events with live guests, et cetera, et cetera. So bear that one in mind. Now, speaking of live events, and yeah. speaking of, you know, it this certainly was an event. I don't know how, but Sting, Gordon Sumner, to his mother and father, that's his real name, Gordon Sumner, ex-Police, as in musical band The Police, has been pontificating this week, and the blurb goes as such. In Warsaw, Poland, Sting delivers one of the greatest speeches in modern history. Whew. Yeah, a speech really. That resonates through all the world. He talks about democracy being under attack. What's got into Sting, do you think? Why is he jumping on the old democracy's under attack bandwagon now? And I understand as well, by the way, you can't get into one of his concerts unless you're vaccinated. So on one hand, you know, only the vaccinated will hear this message about democracy and freedom being stripped away. Is that not irony of the highest order?
I tell you, what's got into Sting is probably a finger up his ass. It's like Bonos. The idea that Sting is pontificating about democracy to anybody is hilarious. You know, so the guy that's being controlled by his puppet masters, being bleached blonde is often a sign of being MK Ultra, by the way. If you look at a lot of the pups, the mind controlled, you know, Britney Spears, Katy Perry, you know, these people that have, make demonic videos and. Yeah. But they're quite often bleach blonde at some point.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And they started that, didn't they? The Police. Uh-huh. But I'm not saying he is, but I mean, the guy's a puppet. And also the guy that was translating for him is well known in Poland for wanting to overthrow the democratically elected government.
Okay,
so it runs deeper
than just Sting. It runs deeper than just Sting. It's the whole cabal that he's associated with. And obviously, yes, he is best buddies with old Bono, and he does like to get up and he does like to talk about the environment. That's what him and Prince Charles, when I was, you know, in my teens, he was always banging on about the Amazon, and Prince Charles was always banging on about the English countryside. And actually, as an aside, you've put something into my head. You talk about the bleached blonde thing. If you actually watch Sting on Quadrophenia, the movie Quadrophenia, is actually bleached almost peroxide, like white blonde, as bleached blonde as it could get. So yeah, maybe there is something in that. And at the end of it, as you know, maybe he plays, he's this rebel leader of the mods. But when Jimmy goes to Brighton again and sees him, he's a jumped up bellboy doing his master's bidding. Maybe that was predictive programming, Trevor. What do you think about that, my friend?
There you go. There you go. It's another inversion. It's just another inversion. I'd like to talk about inversions, but before we do that, can we just talk a bit more about hope and also the healing power of music? So one thing that struck me from Hope was, and I was, that's where I was leading to with the guy from Not the Beep, was that you started talking to people and you immediately struck by how warm and open they are, and this feeling that you've known them your whole life. It's like a soul connection. And that happened over and over and over again. It was extraordinary. You know, you get the same if you talk to Mick, He's such a lovely big bear of a guy, really warm. I mean, he's done like proper warrior work, but he's such a sweet guy. And it was the same, like we finished our set. I got together with a bunch of musicians that had never played. I did my set. I was kind of supporting them. And then we got together in the field having an open rehearsal, about seven of us, I think there were. And we got a 2-hour set together by rehearsing in a field. Yeah, and then we stormed it. And it was absolutely such a great experience. No egos. It was wonderful. And then this other big bear of a bloke came up to me afterwards and was raving about it. And I didn't realize who it was, but it was Danny Rampling. So, and yet again, absolutely warm, open-hearted, sweet guy that I started talking to for 2 seconds and then felt like I'd known him my whole life. And, you know, one of the guys in the band had his own band called This Machine Kills Archons. So if you have a guy with a band called This Machine Kills Archons, you know you don't have to explain a damn thing to them. And you could just have a proper conversation.
Do you know what? It's nice to hear you talking about that, because Mick was on a few days ago and he mentioned Danny as well. He said he was privileged to have met him. I don't know if you've been following Mick on Telegram, but he's been protesting these drag story hours. But he's actually dressed. Yeah. He's wearing. Have you seen him in his makeup with his earrings and his skirt on? No.
No,
no joke. No joke. He's actually going in drag. He's going in drag, and he's got a blusher on, and mascara, and a lot of fake earrings, and a skirt, and wearing a pink t-shirt. So check that out. Actually, when you get a chance,
I imagine
Telegram.
He looks pretty sexy.
That's what I'm afraid. I got a little stirring myself when I saw him. You know, I didn't feel right or natural, but that's the, you know, I'm being open and honest here. Yeah. But listen, we've got to take a real quick news break, just 30 seconds. When we come back, let's talk about this power of music, because that's something we both like to do. And we also touched on it with my previous guest as well, by the way. So Trevor John, Rick Mund, TNT Radio, Locked and Loaded. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short news break.
Darren Metzer here with a quick check of the day's headlines. The US Coast Guard will introduce a vaccine mandate this month and start firing anyone who has not been vaccinated against COVID-19, regardless of any medical or religious exemptions. Mexico's president has called on the world to agree to a 5-year truce as tensions threaten to boil over in Taiwan. It comes after China fired a salvo of ballistic missiles over the capital city of Taipei on Friday. And South Africa has confirmed its first death from a COVID vaccine.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah, 24/7, 365, we never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad, listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Yep. And we're talking, we're chilled. We're talking bees, and we're talking Big Mick Chaves dressed as a woman, and we're talking about music therapy. We're going to talk about inversion. We're going to talk about a few other things. This business of music therapy was actually talking about you to my previous guest, Mr. Greg Mabry, who's a big fan of classic rock. He brought up, he'd been watching a Rolling Stones documentary that's just been released this week. He got a lot out of it. He said, I need to step back. It's getting a little bit too much for me right now. So I switched everything off. I went and watched this documentary, and he said it did him the power of good. We started talking about albums. We threw a few songs in there. Smiles crept across our faces. How powerful is music, and how many people don't realize how powerful music is? Answer me that.
Can I just give you an example? I was watching this film called The Healing Power of Music. It's German made, and they were actually using music for premature born babies. And they found that the ones they were monitoring their brains, and the ones that they played music to, they could see their brains were taking up more oxygen, They were developing better. And it was quite extraordinary. And there's a kindergarten in Germany where they use music because music comes from the rhythm and the melody of the language. So, you know, if we have lots of different languages, which is an advert for diversity, we have a lot of different sounds. We have lots of different rhythms. We have lots of different melodies. Music comes from language. And they were starting these kids off at a kindergarten, and it was all about music. And then they found that music was enhancing their education. Just the fact that they've got their brains into that mode, where they were learning better. And it was extraordinary to see. And they also used music for Parkinson's patients who have difficulty walking, and they found that if they play them this kind of rhythm and a melody, it helps them walk, and they actually forget they've got Parkinson's when they struggled before. So, I mean, it literally, it's not, I mean, we all know that you can sit down and if you're feeling a bit crap, you can sit in your car and stick on Brown Sugar at a high volume and yell along to it, and then you feel great. I mean, yeah.
I even do that. You start pouting like Mick Jagger when that will come. Oh, when the music, and that's another thing. The volume's important. The volume's important.
Yeah.
I have this problem, okay, and it's literally damaged me over the years that I can't listen to music unless it's at the highest volume possible. And I have to have the deepest in-ear earplugs. I have to EQ it in a certain way to get rid of the mids, scoop up the highs and the lows and the bass frequencies. Trevor, I can't tell you how much I love. I'm addicted to listening to really loud music. It just does things to me. It really does.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, no. I mean, I like both, to be honest. I like something very gentle. And it's quite interesting. If you see someone singing in a really gentle way, quite often that's more effective in quietening down a pub than if they're yelling. You know, because if you're yelling and playing loud music, people tend to try and speak over it. But if you have someone's really quiet and really beautiful, the whole place just goes quiet. So it can work in both ways, I think. I would recommend anyone to watch that, The Healing Power of Music. It's absolutely The Healing Power of Music. Fascinating. Yeah.
I told you, I think I told you, I'm pretty sure I told you, one of the first times you and I talked, this topic came up and there was a book I recommended. I don't know if it was you or not, but anyway, if it wasn't, I'm recommending, you will love this. And I was looking for my copy of this and I can't find it anywhere. And I've just remembered I lent it to someone about 10 years ago and never got it back. So there's a book called The Secret Power of Music by the author called David Tame. T-A-M-E. Now, this was written way back in 1984, okay? So, The Secret Power of Music by David Tame. I think you would absolutely adore it. It breaks everything down into frequencies and dissonance and resonances and culture and in so many different ways in the universe, everything, okay? Strangely, what he said in this book, one of the studies that was done in America back in the 80s was they put two pot plants in a windowsill and, you know, two different windows. And one of them, they played to the left of the plant, they put a beatbox playing classical music. The other one in a different room, they put a beatbox playing heavy metal music, okay, blasted it at full volume as the plants were growing. And no joke, the ones that were the ones that were beside the music with the classical, they leaned towards that music. The metal, they leaned away from it. They literally were, they were pushed away from it. Now I'm a big fan of metal, I must say, but I'll tell you this, it does have a very negative effect on me when I listen to certain songs at volume and I'm in a certain mindset. It definitely changes me, my friend, and it ain't for the better. What do you think?
I thought you were going to say they were headbanging, the ones with the No, well, it's very interesting. I was. Do you remember, you must have seen the Alistair Williams video about the satanic 2012 Olympic ceremony.
Yes.
Well, he's done another one for the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony. Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
It's absolutely hilarious. absolutely hilarious. I was watching it today, and when you listen to the music, I mean, it's basically he's going, how much more in your face do you want it? It's, they call it the beast. There was like satanic music going on this whole time, and it, and the music they play in that thing, it's so disturbing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's, have it's you seen on the Omen? Void, if you want to watch.
Have you seen The Omen?
The Omen.
Have you seen The Omen? Yeah. The film The Omen, yeah.
Well, no, I haven't. No. I watched The Exorcist.
Well, don't watch
that was
it.
Enough.
It's well, I've never, I'm the other way around. I wouldn't watch The Exorcist, yeah. But I remember seeing The Omen. And as dark and as evil and as wicked as that film was visually and the storyline and the plot, by far and away, the most disturbing part about that film is the music. They have a choir,
yeah,
and they're chanting in Latin, oh, 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 and chanting these evil, dissonant rhymes in Latin. And no joke, that is way more disturbing and gets under your skin way more than the visuals. And even the satanic storyline there is the music. Sure. So again, music can be a very dangerous tool that the enemy can use.
Well, where would films be without music? I mean, if you just see it without the music, it doesn't have anything like the impact. That was literally, if you watch that, in The Omen, you kind of expect it to be satanic because that's the whole thing. But the Commonwealth Games, you know, when it's supposed to be about pole vaulting, and then you've got these BBC commentators talking about it as if it's all normal, but saying things like the Tower of Babel or the Tower of Birmingham, calf, if you like.
Is there not a big calf that they're a big, a bronze cow or a golden
beast,
calf type thing?
Beast,
is that
a
what
bull
it is?
With bleeding eyes.
What's that about?
I mean, watch it. You'll be absolutely, I mean, it is hilarious. It's hilarious. And how people can't see that that's a satanic ritual is unbelievable. And you've got these ridiculous BBC commentators doing a voiceover of it as if everything's normal, saying it's a beast and saying it's the Tower of Babel. I mean, it's,
and these are all throwbacks. These are all biblical throwbacks to the Old Testament and the whole golden calf, you know, the idolatry that, you know, the people that had left Egypt, they went into the wilderness. Moses went up into Mount Sinai to receive the commandments. And while he did that, the people rebelled and said, we need to make ourselves a god. So they formed the golden calf. They got down and they worshipped it. So that harkens right the way back to the Old Testament, as does the Tower of Babel story as well. So, yeah, it's strange the way they're referencing all these old biblical stories now in the context of the Commonwealth Games.
It's all biblical. And then there's a discussion about whether, you know, we seem to be living in the end times and Revelation. So, but there's a discussion about whether they're facilitating that or whether it's, but either way, if it's happening, it's happening.
It is. Well, here's
maybe
the
they've
thing.
Got conned into doing it.
Well, here's the thing. I think you made that point before, and you know it's a valid point. In fact, it might even have been Darren of Plymouth. He and I were talking about this in depth on one of his podcasts. It was to do with the whole Mark of the Beast system. And he said, you know, maybe they've just read that. They're acting it out, so people are conned into thinking that it's actually becoming real. Just on a purely educational basis, the end times technically began 2,000 years ago, okay? So they were described as the last days 2,000 years ago. So how much more further are we down the track at this point in time, if you believe in the Bible? Of course, if you don't, it doesn't really make any difference. It just sounds like a fairy story. However, just to put a perspective on this, people say, oh, these are the last days. No, the last days started, if you read the book of Hebrews chapter 1, it'll tell you that time was described as the last days. Okay, so how much more closer are we? Describe it as being at the doors then, you know, the culmination of everything that's actually going to happen. So you're starting to see pagan idolatry, you know, the whole Baal, you know, sacrifice, children. I mean, like, children are, you know, should be nurtured. They should be protected. They should be encouraged. And so, there's an attack on children at the minute from so many sides, from the womb right the way through to their school years, their preschool, their mentality, their growth, their development, their education, their indoctrination. My friend,
there's
if ever there was a time in history.
For that.
Yep.
There's a very good reason for that, because these people hate God. They hate God. And which beings are the closest to God on the planet? Children. They're unsullied. Mm-hmm. They've come here. They're pure. They're not, you know, part of any kind of corruption.
Yeah.
They react in a very pure way to everything. And they're under attack for that reason.
100%. And like I said, it's everywhere you go. It doesn't seem to be there's any safe haven for a child unless it's in the boundaries that a loving parent has set to try and shield them from as much of the nonsense that's going on in the world. I'm not talking about isolating them from the world. I'm talking about keeping the malevolent influences of the world away from them. Because listen, they're prey at the end of the day. They are prey for the enemy. And he's going hammer and tongs to try and get his claws or his cloven hooves into them. But as long as we've strengthened our bodies and a soul, we shall say we do not accept, we resist it. We've got to take another quick break, Trevor. Time is flying by, my friend. Another quick one. When we come back, we'll wrap this up. We'll talk a little bit more about music. And some happy things, maybe, if we can find any. Be right back after these short ads here on TNT Radio.
You will own no property and be happy. That's right. The World Economic Forum strikes again. Stay tuned.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
The World Economic Forum has issued a call to reduce private vehicle use by eliminating ownership. The WEF urged more sharing of cars to, quote, reduce ownership. Why? Because the climate allegedly can't handle you owning a vehicle. The World Economic Forum now joins the UK Transport Secretary, who said that owning a car is outdated 20th century thinking, and we must move to, quote, shared mobility to cut CO2 emissions. Not to be left out, Business Insider magazine has urged electric cars won't save us. We need to get rid of cars completely. The British Medical Journal's on record as saying we need substantially fewer journeys by car. And a Gates Soros-funded professor in Europe called for, quote, climate lockdowns and urged governments to limit private vehicle usage. And Democrat presidential candidate Andrew Yang called for the end of private vehicle ownership and instead offered roving fleets of rental electric vehicles that can be called up as needed. My friends, the Great Reset is here. It's time for the Great Reject. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
The way I describe it for people is my dad shot himself and the bullet hit everyone in his life. It was a week before my 30th birthday and I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't because I thought I could call him later that week.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
There's no dispute. The jabs are not safe or effective. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yep, I'm in conversation with my old friend Trevor John, the Obi-Wan Kenobi. Locked and loaded. Yes, no longer the after dinner mint. He's now the Obi-Wan. Or I tell you what, I'll give you free rein. If you can think of a good way to describe yourself without obviously blowing your own trumpet too much, I shall refer to you as that. But, you know, I mean it with the utmost of love and respect and honor. I think you're a great guy and I do appreciate you coming back. Like Obi-Wan, he never really went away. Even after he died, he was going, use the force, Luke, use the force. So anyway, I want to believe that if anything ever happens to you on this mortal coil, Trevor, on a Friday at 12, as I'm about to usher in my first guest, I'll hear this voice in my ear from going, inversion, Rick, inversion.
No, the force is strong within you today. So I've got a kind of positive outlook on all this. I was talking to you about John Walters, who is an absolute hero of mine, and hopefully I messaged him, by the way.
Hopefully he'll reply.
Yes, yeah. So this is a guy. I mean, not only is he a fantastic thinker. I mean, he was a top music journalist. And he's a fantastic freedom fighter. But he's also got the most elegant kind of ability to use words that instead of saying, "Oh, sorry, mate, I didn't get back to you," he says, "I may have neglected to respond to your email." You know, this is, and so he did this talk in this tiny little place in County Kildare called Lexlip, I think it was. And he said, "I know they're up to something. I know they're trying to destroy our lives. I know they're trying to steal everything we have. And I know they're trying to kill us." He was talking to them. But do they really have the power to blow up the world? Are they really that powerful? I don't think so. If they were that powerful, mate, we wouldn't be here talking.
Yeah.
You know, is there really a devastating virus that could threaten the world we must be kept safe from? I don't think so. If they were that powerful, we wouldn't be here. And the way to deal with it is to deal with it at a local level. And you start off, you can't get more locally than yourself. And you were talking about people being triggered earlier by stuff you may have said. But what you have to do is look at, if you're being triggered, you have to own that and take responsibility for it. And then look within yourself to find out why that is and deal with that shadow side of yourself. Because any triggering, that comes from you. And everything has to happen at a local level. So local. I think that they probably got, and was talking about this to the Inner Guardians. He mentioned this, a guy who I do a Zoom chat with a bunch of other fantastic people. And so he was saying, I think they must have a ministry of stress because this all happens at a local level. And they must be people in the government deliberately finding ways to stress people out, because you'll be in a queue of traffic and it'll be for ages and for no apparent reason. And then you get to the end of it and you find there was three cones in the road and nothing going on. So they put that there. And now they've done exactly that. In the village where my mum lives, there was a little road going into the village and it was already 20 miles an hour. And they then put a little, and so two cars could pass each other. And then they put a little blockade in so that to narrow the road, so that the cars coming into the village then have to queue up and give way to the cars coming out of the village. I mean, it's such an irritation. So, and I was getting frustrated with it. And then I realized that you can have a different attitude to it. So what I do now is I look forward to it because there's a queue of people. I ridiculously gratefully thank everybody in the queue. And then I try and come up with a different way of thanking each person on the line. So I'm like, wave, thumbs up. Hi. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can play with it. At the end of the day, you can sit there and get hacked off. Okay. And that releases stress hormones into your blood and it gets you, you know, amped up and wound up and triggered. And ultimately, who suffers? The government don't suffer. The people in the queue around you don't suffer. You suffer. And it's interesting you talk about stress there. I heard someone talk once, or different people talking about being tortured, physically tortured when they were prisoners of war or held captive. And they all said the same thing, which I thought was quite odd. They said the worst part of torture is waiting to be tortured. When you actually get tortured, it's almost like a relief. You don't know, what are they going to do to me? When are they going to do it? When will it happen? How long will it last for? But when it's actually happening, as horrible as it is, they said it's almost like a relief. Okay, we now those unanswered questions are now being answered. And think about it, even like going to the dentist. All right. It's never a pleasant experience. No one really looks forward to going to the dentist, but they always dread, you know, it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now, I have to go to the dentist. Then you're in the waiting room and you see people and you hear the drill and you smell that old mouthwash and you get really psyched up. And then when you actually sit in the dentist's chair and they numb you down or they put the anesthetic in or they do whatever they're going to do, it's not just so bad as the wait, the anticipation, the mind working overtime. And I think, Trevor, that's what they're trying to do with us on many, many fronts. They're trying to sow as much stress into our lives, low-level, constant, nonstop stress that constantly has us a little bit, you know, guarded and edgy and a little bit, you know, apprehensive about life in general. But maybe the stuff never even comes to fruition.
No, that's right. I mean, and stress can have a massive, serious effect on your health. I was telling a story about pain to someone this week. So I used to do a martial art, karate. And at one point, the guy had us there in the gym doing push-ups on our knuckles. And it really can hurt. And everyone around me was moaning and groaning. And I was doing it, and it was really hurting. And then I suddenly thought, well, what happens if I, instead of resisting the pain as I was doing, I just let it go through me. So accept it. So I kind of went, oh, go on then, do your worst. And it went through me, and then it didn't hurt at all. And then I was I was doing my press-ups on my knuckles, laughing at everybody moaning and groaning. I was literally laughing. And so it's funny. It's almost like the resistance and the worry about something is worse. That's exactly what you're saying. When you experience it and accept it, it's not anywhere near as bad.
And let's keep on the subject here, because this is positive, and I believe this is beneficial maybe to at least one person listening in. Stress is also a method of growth. So when you hear about when you put something under stress, okay, you put pressure on something, it'll either make it or break it. Okay, so if the stress levels are too high, it'll crack. If not, it'll temper. It's like tempering steel. Or if you go to the gym and you're doing your press-ups, okay, what does a press-up do? It develops your chest, your biceps, your triceps and your deltoid muscles. It improves your core strength. It's not pleasant to do 25 straight press-ups. By the 15, you're really sore. By 20, the lactic acid's coursing through your veins and you feel awful. But what's happening is you're getting stronger. So you come away from that stress, you give it a day, and the next time you try and do those 25 knuckle press-ups, it's a little bit easier than it was the time before, because the stress and the stress that you've put your body under, physical pain and breaking down muscle tissue for it to rebuild again, actually facilitates growth. So I suppose you could also say that depending on how your mindset towards stress is, it can be something that can keep you perpetually worked up, or you can embrace it and say, you know what, if it doesn't kill me, it's going to make me stronger. What do you think?
Yeah, we're all here in the psychic gym. And we're here to learn. And if there weren't issues to push against, then we would never learn. And we've all got things which trigger us, and we've all got issues that we can deal with. And they're put here. I strongly believe that they're put here specifically so we can learn from them, and to learn how to be a reconciling force, because you have forces going both ways, and then you can have a reconciling force. It's like I was demonstrating on the guitar the other day, where you can have something pulling one way, which is harmony. I just played an E major chord, and then you can have something pulling the other way, which is dissonance. Which is like a two notes, a semitone apart, really jarring and horrible, or the diminished fifth we always talk about.
Yeah, yep.
And then I played a chord which contains both those things, which is both the harmony of a major scale plus that dissonance of a semitone. And it's the most beautiful chord you could possibly imagine, full of mystery and interest.
Nice.
And I see that as the reconciling force. You encompass both of the polarities.
And you're bringing music back into the discussion again, which I like, because listen, even if you're not a great fan of music, just try and listen to a little bit more of it, okay? It could be ambient music, it could be electronic music, it could be classical music, a little bit of country music, whatever. Try and expose yourself to more music, and you will find stuff that you like and you'll gravitate to, and you can listen to more of it and different artists of the same genre. It is good for you. And also, if you're a musician, there's a lot of therapy in just simply sitting strumming a guitar. I meant to get a guitar 2 weeks ago. It was my birthday, and I got a few quid, and people said, what do you want? I said, look, I want to get a guitar. So I'm going to go out and get myself a good steel string acoustic guitar, probably this week or next week. And if nothing else, I'm going to sit and just strum it. You know, there's some beautiful chord progressions, one of which in particular, classical music, is an A minor to a D minor, then E7th, and you go and finger pick around A minor to D minor to E7th. That's all you'll do all day. You could sit with those three chords on repeat all day. It is just absolutely Beautiful. But anyway, I'm getting all I'm getting all doughy-eyed and wistful as we're coming into the end of the show. And that's a good thing, by the way. And I want to thank you for bringing me to that tranquil space, Mr. Trevor John. It's been an absolute pleasure. As always, we're wrapping it up here on Locked and Loaded. Anyway, after the news that's coming up, we have Jeremy Nell. He will be taking to the airwaves. Trevor, I want to thank you. Listeners, reiterated to you again, can't stress this enough, we're doing our best, we're trying to grow, we're trying to reach as many people as possible. Spread the word about TNT Radio. If you go onto our website, you can download banners, stick them onto your social media platforms. There's you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Getter and Twitter. Also, we're on the social media platforms and obviously on the streaming platforms, Rumble, Odyssey, YouTube. All those things were there, and most importantly, download the app, because the app is fantastic, and encourage your friends and family to do it too. Let them get a taste, I tell you, of TNT Radio. Hopefully they won't spit it out. They will say, that's nice. I want to take another mouthful of that. But anyway, I gotta go. I've talked enough. I'm gonna let someone else do the talking now. Jeremy Nell, Trevor John, love you to bits. Speak to you again in a couple of weeks. Jeff, wonderful job.
Have a great weekend.
Listeners, big hug, virtual hug and kiss to you. I'll be back on Monday. TNT Radio, Locked and Loaded. Don't go away.